and Answers begins right now.
You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zuckerin. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Evidence and Answers has been presenting compelling reasons for faith and hope in Christ on the radio and through the internet for almost two decades. As we celebrate our 1,000th podcast, hear the spiritual journey of our founder, Pat Zuckerin, who went from Buddhism to atheism and finally to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's learn how God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways to glorify himself and advance his kingdom. Today we will learn as Pat shares his journey from youth to discovering his passion, Jesus Christ. Now let's begin. Here's part one.
You're listening to Evidence and Answers, where we provide evidence for faith and hope in Christ and biblical answers to the issues of today. Well, you know, our radio show has been around for about 20 years. I think we started way back in Dallas, Texas in 2005, and a lot has happened. We're almost on our 1,000th podcast here, 1,000th radio show, and a lot has gone on. God has brought great people to help us here at Evidence and Answers, and one of those is sitting across from me today, Keith Boychuk. You're going to be hearing a lot from him in days to come because he's going to be co-hosting the show with me, so he'll be sharing the mic with me here on Evidence and Answers. So, Keith, welcome to Evidence and Answers.
Thank you, Pat, for having me.
Well, Keith, since this is your first show with us, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, since people are going to be hearing a lot from you in days to come. So just tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay. My name is Keith Boychuk. I am a local Hawaii resident. I grew up in Honolulu, Manoa area. Went UH Manoa, studied in kinesiology, fancy word for saying studying the body in motion. It's kind of a little background for me. I guess things that I like, I'm an outdoors person. I have a family of two, little daughter and a son, and currently living in Mililani area.
Yeah, and Keith, you're a full-time physical therapist, right?
Yeah, physical therapist assistant. I'm very fortunate to do home health, where I get to travel around the island. And, you know, some people think that's kind of junk to drive around, but I enjoy it. I love driving around. This is kind of fun.
Yeah, and for those of you listening in the Philippines, we've got a big audience out there. Hawaii's not as big as the Philippine islands out there. So you could probably drive around our island in maybe 2-3 hours if the traffic is not so bad.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, yeah, it really depends on the traffic.
Well, Keith, tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey here. How'd you come to faith in Christ?
Oh, yeah. Just like anyone else that has a testimony, there's a lot behind it. But for the sake of brevity, you know, I was in college, and I was in a rock and a hard place. Rock being college, and hard place was surfing. I had to choose one or the other, and you know,
tough choice.
By the grace of God, you know, I was able to focus, get my schooling done, and you know, really, it was a place of need, a place of desperate, you know, answers, and I was very fortunate enough to find a home church at Kaimuki Christian Church. And yeah, ever since then, rest is history.
Great. You know, and Keith, how'd you get interested with Evidence and Answers?
So Evidence and Answers, well, I met you at Mililani Community Church, and you know, we just kind of hit it off, and I get to help you whenever you want me around with your big events.
Well, great. So, Keith, since you're going to be the co-host here, I'll now turn it over to you, and you can take it and run.
All right. Thank you very much. So, you know, I mean, like you mentioned, Pat, this has been a long time coming. I think you did mention prior, but 2005, Evidence and Answers?
Yes, I believe that's the date, the genesis of Evidence and Answers, way back in Dallas, Texas, in about 2005. Yeah.
Wow. And you know, just to kind of put that in perspective, that's when I graduated high school. So
yeah,
either makes you feel old or makes me feel young, either mm-hmm. or. I mean, it's, yeah, 2005, that's a while ago. But, you know, congratulations on just the success of it. And I think you've mentioned about 1,000 plus Spotify shows that you have of Evidence and Answers.
Yeah, you know, when we began, we didn't have Spotify and YouTube and all those kinds of things. So we began on the radio, and then, of course, internet and the web got really big. And so we developed our website and put our shows on our website. And then a lot of these other channels came along and a big learning curve had to occur. And so now you can see our interviews on YouTube, but you can also get them on Spotify and podcasts and all these things. A lot of transitions were taking place, but we had to grow as the technology grew as well. So yeah, over 20 years, we've been learning a lot, and there's a lot of avenues now to get out God's message with Evidence and Answers.
Wonderful. Well, you know, to celebrate about the 20 years, I figured this would be a great starting point for those that may just be listening or those that have been following you throughout the years. Let's get to know you, Pat. Let's get to know you and Evidence and Answers. So, local style, I have to ask first, what high school did you go to?
Yes, I went to a private high school here in the state of Hawaii. For those of you, of course, listening outside the state of Hawaii, there's several prominent private schools out here. And I had the privilege of going to one of them, Iolani High School out here in Hawaii.
Oh, Iolani. Nice. Well, and then as any self-respecting Hawaii residents, the next question is, did you play any sports?
Yes, you know, I played several sports growing up. Of course, the ocean, surfing and swimming, but also baseball and football, tennis and golf, volleyball and other sports. But of course, my lack of height, 5'7". So really, it was, you know, tennis, golf, and baseball really is where I went the farthest. And unfortunately, those three sports were the same season, so I had to pick one. I initially went with baseball, but eventually the golf coach and other coaches saw me playing golf and said, you know, this guy really needs to get into golf. And so eventually the baseball coach and everyone talked me into going into golf. And that's the sport that I guess I went the farthest in, and, you know, eventually played collegiate golf and everything. So those are some of the sports that I play. Now it's tennis and golf and surfing. It's back to the three basics in Hawaii.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, golf. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't realize golf was such a prominent, and forgive me for saying this, prominent thing back then. I thought that was more recent. No, actually it wasn't. Oh, okay.
That's why I wasn't playing. I was playing football and baseball.
Oh, there you go. And that makes sense.
You know, it wasn't until I found the Lord, but really I wanted to be in the hip crowd, a lot of, you want to be accepted by your peers and everything. And so I was playing sports. Probably I wasn't really suited to play, although I did fine in them, but really golf and tennis were really the sports that I really excelled in. But because they weren't the hip sport, I was reluctant to go into them.
How times have changed now. Golf and tennis is the hip sport.
Good to see.
Yeah. You mentioned that you went to Iolani High School. Does that mean you lived in town area, kind of more by the Kapuhulu or Makiki area place?
Yeah, well, you know how private schools work in the state of Hawaii. People come from all over the island. And so some will drive that hour and a half to get, and in Hawaii, hour and a half is a long drive. It's a massively long drive in California, Texas, other states like that. Philippines, of course, you know, hour and a half is par for the course. But in Hawaii, that's forever drive. But people come from all over the islands, Waianae, way on the west side here of Oahu, Mililani, to go to some of these private schools. And so I lived in the town area, grew up in the Nu'uanu Valley. And so my drive wasn't as long. It's about 20, 30 minutes to high school. But yeah, that's where I grew up, right in the Honolulu area.
Okay. You're a townie.
Yes.
Any siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger brother. He's about 7 years younger than me, and an older sister. Yeah, there's three of us that grew up.
Oh, very good. Did you ever experience the middle child syndrome?
I think I did. You know, I think I did. And so I'm probably the most independent of all three of my, between my brother and sister, I'm probably the most independent one.
Oh, nice. So family does play a big factor in Hawaii. And so where did you grow up? In a Christian household?
Yeah, you know, I did not grow up in a Christian household. Our family was, of course, Japanese in background. And so I grew up with a Japanese Buddhist background. Those of you in the U.S. may be familiar with the YMCA. I grew up at the YBA, the Young Buddhist Association. That's where I learned the martial arts and swimming and basketball and played a lot of sports there at the YBA. So I grew up really in a Japanese Buddhist background, but also went to an Episcopal school from a very young age. So I was exposed to the Bible and Christian teaching. Unfortunately, it's quite a liberal school. And so we were taught that the Bible is like any other religion, based a lot on myths and legends. And so we just saw the Bible as, you know, a book of funny little stories that we never really took seriously. And so that's kind of my background. And of course, I had friends who were in, you know, many of the different religions. Of course, the indigenous Hawaii religion here, which is animistic, is very strong here. So I was exposed to all kinds of religions growing up here in Hawaii.
Very good. So I guess the follow-up question is then, how did you transition from a Buddhist background and to a Christian background?
You know, growing up, I just wanted to have fun and just play sports. I could really have cared less about spiritual things or academic things. Really, I wasn't a very good student at all. And of course, when you get to high school, you begin asking, you know, the big questions of life. Why am I here? What is the meaning of my existence here? There's a drive to get a good and high paying job. And I always ask myself, why? Why do I want to do that? Everything ends in death and annihilation. You know, as we got exposed to the sciences, you learn that the universe is an accident. Now, there's no intended purpose for the universe's existence. And ultimately, the universe is going to continue to expand, run out of energy, reach a state we call final entropy, and the universe comes to an end. You know, and then you realize you're an accident. The universe is an accident with really no intended purpose or design. And, you know, somehow life came from non-life. We still don't know how, but somehow it did. And really, that's just the product of chance. And somehow it evolved to higher, more complex forms, which is simply what we are. And there's really no intended purpose for our existence here. And everything ends in death and annihilation. I mean, we live for a brief moment here in this vast universe, and then we are extinct. And one day, you know, mankind will be extinct with the death of our solar system, and the universe comes to everything ends in death and annihilation. And just begin to wonder, what difference did it ever make that we were here? Everything ends in death and annihilation. And, you know, I came to the conclusion as I studied the different world religions that they were all based on mythology as well. You know, so I began asking those big questions of life. What is it I'm going to give my life for? What is the meaning and purpose of our existence? Why is the universe here? How do I know right from wrong? I got people telling me this is wrong, this is right. You know, this lifestyle is wrong. No, this lifestyle is moral. And just beginning to ask all those kinds of questions. And so I began to look at the different religions. Of course, I looked at Buddhism because that's my background. And I realized that that was an unlivable kind of system. Buddhism taught that this physical world around us is an illusion. And so what causes pain and suffering is attachment to this illusionary world. And so the whole goal is to detach from this world. That's what Buddha taught. And that comes about by eliminating of all desire. Well, that's impossible to do. The desire to have no desire is a desire. It's a self-contradictory. The desire to escape pain and suffering is a desire, you know. And I just saw it really as it seemed to be a very cruel system. It seemed like to love and to have relationships and to dream great dreams. And that's part of being human. And so I saw that was an unlivable system. But then being exposed to the other religions, I saw that they were all based a lot on legends and myths. And what I was taught in high school was that the Bible was the same thing, built on legends and myths. And so, you know, Keith, I eventually became an atheist. But what I discovered, as all great atheists, and I didn't know this at the time, they all come to the same conclusion, from Sartre, Russell, Voltaire, you name them, that if there is no God, if there is no life after death, if this is all there is, we live for a brief moment and we're annihilated, extinct forever, then ultimately, our existence is meaningless. And the existence of the universe ultimately is meaningless as well. We're a product of chance and everything ends in death and annihilation. So that was a very dark period in my time during those high school years where I was wrestling with these questions and coming to those kind of conclusions.
Wait a minute. For context, this was all during high school?
Yeah, you know, because I went to a private school, I didn't know a lot of my neighborhood friends. You know, I knew some of them, but a lot of them ended up moving away. Cost of living here in Hawaii is quite expensive. And so a lot of them moved away. And most of my friends were coming from all different parts of the island. And so I spent a lot of time alone. And spending a whole lot of time alone, I guess you start thinking about these kinds of things and kind of literature that I was reading. A lot of it was from an atheist or atheist existential perspective. I remember Hemingway and all this, the futility of life and all that. And just really just had a lot of time just to think, you know, I had an hour and a half bus ride home. Just a lot of time to think about stuff like this.
That's amazing, because I was just trying to think to myself, man, that is deep. You must have been in college when you were thinking all this. And you said high school. I was like, high school? Man, I think the only thing I was thinking of, what am I going to eat for lunch?
Yeah.
That's really powerful stuff. So, I mean, already from the get-go, it just shows that you were definitely thinking.
Yeah, and eventually, I mean, those are the big questions of life that we all must answer. Why is the universe here? Why am I here? What is the meaning of my existence? How do I live? You know, it comes down to ethics. I mean, how am I going to live? Right from wrong? What is the ultimate end? Is death the ultimate end, or is there something beyond my life here? Those are the big questions everyone eventually asks. And you're going to have to ask yourself, does my worldview provide the best answers to those questions?
Yeah, very true. Especially as you mature, right? As when gone are the days of, oh, well, I'm just going to work and then I can go surf. And then you start to developing pathways and careers. But, you know, to kind of bring it back a little bit, I mean, we do know kind of where you're at right now with Evidence and Answers, teaching, writing books. But, you know, I have to ask, and I love always asking this, what was your first job you ever had?
My first job really was with McDonald's. That was my first job there working in Waikiki. And I thought that everyone being in Waikiki, you'd be happy. You know, and everyone's going to be happy. I got the happiest customers around. Well, they were some of the meanest, most unhappy people around. And it was a very difficult job, but kind of helped me understand the service industry. And really, I realized that I'm really not built for this kind of career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so great to always ask that question, because we oftentimes when you meet people, you kind of see them at their current state. But really, rarely do we get to hear the origin stories. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You know, I mean, we all love comic books, movies and stories. So hearing the origin of where you started and as we kind of continue to talk more of where you've been and where we are now. So kind of going back to finding your faith. So you said in high school, you kind of ended up being more of an atheist. Was there like a low point, or did you continue to keep searching and you said, hey, you know what, this doesn't make sense? And so how did that transition from atheism to being a Christian kind of came about from there?
Yeah, you know, Keith, that was a dark point in my life where I was really came to the conclusion, life ultimately is meaningless. And so why not just have fun, party and die, you know, like Paul said, you know, if the resurrection is not true, then really we are, you know, we're beings to be pitied. And that's kind of the conclusion I came to. Maybe just have fun and take it easy and then eventually you just die. Why work so hard only to suffer so much, go through all this excruciating torture of study and all that, and everything ends in death and annihilation anyway? Well, I was on the baseball team. I was a shortstop, and the third baseman was a friend of mine. He had come to faith in Christ, and he was sharing with us about his faith in Christ a little bit and kept inviting us to church. And of course, we didn't want to go to church or anything like that. I had enough of what I felt was church at school and things, and so I really wasn't interested at all. Well, one day he kind of tricked us into going to church. We thought we were going to go work out baseball and things, but first he dragged us to church, and I think that's how the story is. And so we, you know, went to church, and I remember sitting in the back row, really disinterested, and I kind of just fell asleep through the service. But at the end of the service, they were serving communion. You know, I didn't know what that was, but the pastor there said two verses that really caught my attention. He said, you know, if you don't know God today, you can know God through Jesus Christ, who said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Quoting Matthew 11 there. And that really caught my attention because, you know, all these years I thought, if there is a God that exists, he certainly doesn't care about anything going on here on the earth, especially my life. I'm just a speck of dust in this great universe. But then hearing that verse, it kind of woke me up. And I said, whoa, the God of the universe wants to be a part of my life? You know, so much so he wants me to cast all my burden on him and he wants to give me rest? I said, wow, you know, that's kind of unique. Everyone always told me, you know, don't share with me your problems. I got enough problems on my own. Go figure it out on your own. You know, my dad was like that. You can never share anything with my dad. He was always, go figure it out on your own. I got enough problems in my life. But here, the God of the universe is inviting us to come to him, cast our burden on him. He wanted to give us rest. And I just kind of woke me up there. And then he said another verse. He said, and if you come to know God, you'll always have an eternal relationship with God, for he promised. Matthew 28, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the very end of the age. And that also woke me up. I thought, wow, the God of the universe wants to be in a personal relationship with me. So much so, he wants to carry my burdens. But not only that, he's promised to be with me always, good, bad, and the ugly. Be with you always, even to the end of the age. And I thought about that at weddings. You know, our final words and our vows were, till death do us part. But here, the God of the Bible says, not even death will separate me from you. And so I prayed in the pew that day. The pastor invited people to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I wasn't quite ready at that moment, but I said, God of the Bible, I said, if you're for real, if all this is real and legit, I would like to know you. And I believe that's the day that began that spiritual journey. And I went to the school priest the next day. You know, we had chapel service once a week. And I remember going up to the chaplain at the end. And of course, remember, I went to a liberal, kind of a liberal school, and I went to the priest and I said, hey, I went to church this past Sunday and I heard about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and gave his life for us and rose from the dead, and we can have a personal relationship with God. And he just kind of smiled and said, well, no, don't take it so seriously. You know, any religion is fine. And if Christianity makes you happy, well, good for you. And I was just kind of stunned. I thought, whoa, here's a guy that has studied this all his life and he doesn't really seem to believe in the message. And I had signed up for Bible course from the priest just so I could learn the Bible. I had not read the Bible before thoroughly, just bits and pieces. So I thought, well, yeah, I'll take Bible class from him so I can just learn the Bible. And I had learned, as I took Bible class from him, I learned all the errors and mistakes in the Bible and how there's historical errors and factual errors and scientific errors, and that a lot of the stories of the Bible came from legends and myths of that time. The Genesis account comes from Mesopotamian and Canaanite religions, and the stories of Jesus come from Greek mythology and all of this. And it was really had me questioning the credibility of Christianity. And of course, I was going to that little Baptist church out there, and I'd ask the people each week, I said, look what I learned. There's Greek in the book of Daniel. If Daniel's supposed to be written in the time of the Babylonians, how come we got Greek words in here? And the stories of Jesus come from Greek mythology. Look at all these parallels to Greek mythology. And really, no one had any answers for me. And I began to think it over. And as the weeks went by and I kept hearing more about the facts against Christianity, it just seemed to be a bit overwhelming. And so after a few months, I thought, you know, Christianity is a wonderful religion. It's got the most powerful message I have ever heard. But if it's not true, then it's not for me. You know, it's kind of like believing in Santa Claus. What a great message. But if it's not true, it's really not worth believing. And so I was about to walk away from Christianity when a friend took me to lunch and I was giving him, he was a collegiate student, I was a high school, and I was giving him all these facts that seemed to just blow apart Christianity. And he just kind of listened to me and he said, you know, I have no answers for you, but here's a book that might help. And he gave me a book which introduced me to this world we know as Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. And it wasn't a very big book, about 150 pages or so. And I had never read a book before. You know, for me, 150 pages, a daunting task. I never read a book before.
What was the title of the book?
It was Know Why You Believe by Paul Little. Okay. I think it was written back in the 70s. So I began to read the book. And I hadn't even read a comic book before, Keith. You know, I'd read maybe a couple pages in the comic book, and it was just too much for me. I'd tell my sister or someone, hey, read this and tell me what happens, kind of thing. And so anyway, I began reading that book thinking I'm not going to finish it. And what I read just absolutely fascinated me.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.